Welcome to Champions of the Universe, episode 95.
Yeah!
Best 95!
Best year ever, I guess.
Yeah, sure, why not? Yeah, I think sure, it's the year they invented the pizza roll.
It was definitely a year of terrible fashion that everyone wants to forget. Hello, everyone. It's fully summer right now. We are creeping up to 100 right now, and I still need to edit some of the backlogs of the episodes, but you know what? I still love doing this. I still love listening to music all the time. Adam Airyman, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, except for the listening to music part. I hate that.
Oh, man, I hate it. Yes, last episode, we decided that we're on the wrong podcast because we hate music, so everything that we're going to be giving you right now, we absolutely despise.
Yeah, anything that has a note in it, I'm really down on.
So we have two albums from 2014, and we're going to be finishing it up with an oldie but a goodie right at the end. But right now, Adam Airyman, we discussed this band before, I believe.
You bet we did.
Yeah, we did. All right. Yeah, so who do we have?
All right, is there an ice cream truck out in front of your house?
Yeah.
There is. Go hit it. Go hit it, quick.
We'll go. Wait. Oh, it's gone.
All right. We're not running fast enough. You might have missed the ice cream, but Secret Cities is here with the sound of ice cream.
Oh man, it tastes like that ice cream bar that had like pink stuff on it. It tasted like strawberries. Oh, love it.
All right, so we covered these guys before. They're a really interesting band, and I love their sound. Basically, the last record they recorded, I think they wrote that it was like in a abandoned bank basement in North Dakota, and the songs were like these really kind of awesomely dark psych almost like Beach Boys songs, but with like kind of like a dark chamber feel to it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
And they are back with another record a couple years later. I believe this one they were spread out, kind of did it in different places. I don't think they live in North Dakota anymore. But this is a really cool record. It kind of continues that sound. It took me a little while to get used to it, because one of the things that I loved about the two before, Pink Graffiti and Strange Hearts, was their kind of, they definitely had this kind of like dark sound to it. It's a little more lo-fi. This album is very produced.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really good. All the melodies that make the music great are there. They're intact. And it's just got like a different sound. And it's cool to hear them, you know, kind of like go off in a little bit of a different direction. Strange Hearts, I will say, is one of my favorite records that we've covered on the podcast. That one has not left rotation.
Ooh, really?
Since it came in, yeah. And, you know, I thought highly enough of that record to add it to my vinyl collection.
Ooh, all right. It's kind of like a step above.
Yeah, if you don't remember that one, go back and check it out. But this one is a really solid album, nonetheless, on its own. And, you know, I feel like the songs really stand out. They all still have those, like, really strong melodies running through them. And it's very melodic, and it's a very pleasing sound. So, you know, me being a sucker aside for lo-fi, you know, I have to say that, like, I did thoroughly enjoy all the songs on this album. And once I kind of set aside my expectations of what their album would be produced like, I really got into it a lot more. So I think it is a really solid album, and I enjoyed it. I would say check this one out. So Captain Carbon.
I do remember Strange Hearts, and you gave me Pink Graffiti. Now, which one was the one that was recorded in a bank? Was that Pink Graffiti or was that Strange Hearts?
That's Strange Hearts.
Strange Hearts, okay. I definitely remember liking this. There's like another band. What was it called? It was called something Island, that I kind of like got that mixed up. But all right, anyway, that was another band. But Secret Cities. Aside from that lo-fi expectation, I think I enjoyed this one immensely, because I really like the production on this, especially the first kind of half of the record. Like, songs like Bad Trip, and also like Paradise and also Purgatory, a lot of it sounds like a band called Devotchka, which I really liked. They were kind of like a melodramatic indie sort of band before indie kind of got like mucked up and like weird. They also have Whistling in the first half, which I am a sucker. So,
Whistling.
I mean, the melodies in this, aside from that really infectious kind of ice cream sound that Ed Merriman was talking about, with things like Playing Like Fire and like Walk Me Home, they have such a great sound. They have such like a lush kind of arrangements, and I particularly enjoyed the hi-fi aspect of this, just because you get to hear like the different vocals from the male and the female singer. So I enjoyed this. It did take me a little bit. This, I think I was talking to you and saying that this is kind of what I wanted Beach House to keep going with in this direction, and also Andrew Bird too. So like, both of those bands kind of fell off for me, and they're just not producing the records that I want them anymore. But there's other bands that are basically doing the same thing, which sounds really, really cool. So if you miss that kind of indie sound that was really popular in like 2007, 2008, 2009, this band has it. And they have like a very wide variety of different sounds too. So if like you like this, but you like just a little bit less or like a little bit more raw, go with the earlier stuff. But this one, I liked it. I liked it a lot. It tasted like a snow flurry. It tasted like a snow cone. It tasted like Italian ice.
Smooth album.
Oh, it is smooth. Man, I like it. These guys are on Bandcamp too. They are not that well known yet. Probably. I can't imagine that.
They definitely had kind of a gap in between their last releases, because Strange Hearts was 2010.
Yeah.
So we got a 4-year gap on this one.
Huh. Interesting. So yeah, it's definitely worth it. It is definitely up someone's alley. So all right. Secret Cities. Really good. So all right. This next one, I guess it's a shared pick, as you would say. It is a band that both Adam Arryman and I have seen together live. We know about, pretty much everyone knows about it, and we were very, very hesitant about actually listening to this. We were so hesitant. So, forget everything that you know, everything that you once thought before. Here you go. Right, that was Metallica. That was Mastodon with their new album, Once More Round the Sun. All right, Here we go. Mastodon was one of my first metal bands. Back, way back in like 2004, we listened to Leviathan, and it was awesome. That's when Airy Man Adam and I saw them live on their Leviathan tour. They were sort of like coming out as kind of like this like kind of like independent metal. It wasn't underground. It wasn't mainstream. It was kind of like right in the middle. It was cool. It was a concept album about Moby Dick. It was badass. It was heavy. The band then came out with Blood Mountain, which was kind of like their big, I don't want to say mainstream, but I want to say like midstream, or their kind of like hip blog breakthrough, which was Blood Mountain.
Well, yeah, that cool. One had Josh Homme on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and yeah,
was,
yeah.
So, like a little more radio.
Yeah, just acceptable. A little bit more radio friendly. Then they came out with Crack the Sky, which was this weird, fucked album about something, and I just kind of like lost it after that. But you know what? It's funny because I feel that there's another step that that band like reached with other certain people. Like a lot of people, if you ask them their favorite Mastodon album, they'll either say Leviathan, Blood Mountain, or Crack the Sky, and it's like definitely three different generations of people.
So, yeah, it's like yes. It's like hardcore meets metal with like really weird time signatures,
yes.
Or prog.
Mm-hmm.
Or somewhere in between all that, you yes. know, like with a little sous-son
yep.
of alternative. Mm-hmm.
So those are kind of like the three facets of Mastodon. Now they did come out with another album, and it was abysmal. It was called The Hunter. That was back in 2000, and it was completely mainstream. It was completely radio friendly. It just was not. It was not good. Like, even people that like Crack the Sky, like, the most that I've seen people do is, like, just defend that album. No one likes that album except for, like, defending. Anyway, so back to Once More Around the Sun. This is Mastodon's newest album, and I do not think that I have been into Mastodon since Blood Mountain except for this album. I feel that I have finally understood what Mastodon is doing with this album. I feel that now I am ready to listen to Crack the Sky again and possibly give it another chance. Why? Because I was upset before about Mastodon not being metal anymore. And I feel that once I let go, finally, I just kind of like let go and I let them do what they wanted to, that I enjoyed it. This is a progressive rock album. It's a heavy progressive rock album. It's sometimes hard progressive rock. They even sometimes have riffs. But once I figured out that it wasn't metal, and I didn't have that expectation about it being kind of like brutal or just like having those metal aspects, I enjoyed it the same way that I enjoyed Rush's 2012, or 2112. I enjoyed it the same way that I enjoyed some King Crimson. Like, it is fine that it is not a metal album. Without that expectation of being metal, I enjoyed the melodies on it. I especially the lead single, The Road Home. I enjoy what they're doing. High Road. I enjoy what they're doing with the melodies. I enjoy what they're doing with the light progressive elements into it. I just enjoy it as like a really good rock record. Now there are some shitty parts in this. Like there's this one ending of the song, and I don't know why they put it, but it's like, hey ho, let's go, let's rock and roll, or something like that. It's stupid. And the reason that I'm kind of just laying into Mastodon so much is that I loved Mastodon so much before, but I found it, and I see when people talk about it, they sometimes don't like what Mastodon does, but they try to defend it because they like the album so much before. And people did that with Baroness too, which is...
Well, go ahead. I feel like at the time that Leviathan came out, people were kind of over metal's like coolness a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that was like one album that really, I think, reignited heavy music for a lot of people because it was so different, you know, at the time.
And as I said before, it wasn't mainstream. It wasn't underground. Like, it was this weird kind of like middle. Like, I always called like independent metal. Like, the same time that like Genghis Tron was coming out with stuff. Like, it had like bright album covers, but it was still badass. Like, it was the same kind of metal that we're talking about with that, like, harp was, like, into it. Just, like, heavy music without the pageantry of metal. So, I mean, like, they fit that in there, and, like, it was so good. It's just that they went... You know what? I don't think that it was Mastodon. I think it was me. I think that I wanted more metal, so... When Mastodon came out with Crack the Sky, they just weren't doing the same thing as they're doing with Leviathan, and I didn't like it. And that's okay, because I found other things, and they just went other places. But this one, I liked it. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. So, Adam Merriman, I just laid out my history with Mastodon. What do you think?
All right. Well, I gotta say, I fell off the Mastodon wagon after Leviathan. I thought
it's
Leviathan,
basically a wagon being pulled by Mastodon.
Yeah, Leviathan is one of my favorite theme albums of all time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about one of the coolest themed albums I think you can make. Is like just an incredibly badass album about Moby Dick. Hell yeah.
Yep.
And you know, Blood Mountain, I admittedly didn't listen to all that much just because it never really like took with me in the way that Leviathan did. But I definitely listened to Crack the Sky a bunch, and I tried to listen to one after that. Now, Crack the Sky, I could not get down with.
Yes.
And that was because of how over-the-top prog it was. This album, you're saying this one's prog. I'm not sure.
Say it has progressive elements.
Yeah, it does. It does, mm-hmm. For sure. But it's like, I feel like this one is more of a kind of like musical... collage of all these sounds that Mastodon likes, whereas the other albums they would mostly, you know, pick kind of a theme and mm-hmm. stick with it. Like maybe this one's like more proggy, or this one's, you know, like that one, The Hunter, is like very alternative heavy. But you know, like it's, I feel like with this one they just kind of combined a lot of the things that they've been doing into just a really heavy like rock metal record. I mean, at times this record sounds like Sabbath, you know, like Ozzy. Well, more like Ozzy's solo stuff, but you know, it's like definitely just that kind of like heavy metal with like really thick riffs, you know, like slow, kind of slow, but like definitely like cascading metal riffs. And like, you know, it's a really riff heavy album. They throw a lot of solos in there and stuff. But it's not like Crack the Sky, where they were trying to push the envelope with all of their songs. You know, they're not like... This one, it feels like they've proved what they felt they need to prove in terms of their musical chops. Because the songs on here can... Like, they get so much more badass and slowed down than stuff that they've been doing recently. Like High Road, that song you were talking about, that's the single. That one has, you know, just these really strong, kind of slower, heavy riffs that are almost sound like Melvins-like, you know? They're willing to kind of break it down and be more simple on this album and create those kind of, like, deep grooves that made Leviathan awesome. You know, those, like, chugging, heavy, you know, like, sounds that, you know, it sounds like you're being charged by an elephant or a mastodon.
Or a big heavy elephant, or a big hairy elephant with tusks.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So like High Road is a perfect example of this, because you know High Road has that tusky charge sound, but the chorus, you know, is like totally sounds like Ozzy style like metal. And I mean this album, you're right. There are like some points on it that are like kind of dumb.
Some shitty parts.
There are some shitty parts, but on the whole, it's a really enjoyable album.
It is.
You know, it's like, it's really solidly listenable the whole way through. They kind of like seized their melodies back, you know, like took them back from the brink, and just kind of like combined all the best parts about what they've been doing over the last couple years into one record. So, you know, I found this one really enjoyable. It didn't blow me away necessarily, but like at no point did I regret any of my time with it. I mean, I felt like it was just a good, solid, heavy metal rock album. So, yeah, I'm giving this one a thumbs up, man. Like, way to go, Mastodon.
Yeah.
You know, I appreciate that this, even though I don't necessarily always like where Mastodon goes with their sound, I appreciate that they're they have the balls to stand there and try and change it, you know, and take risks and make experimental kind of adjustments to their sound, because I think it really shows that they're not a complacent band. You know, regardless of whether or not I can personally get down with all the sounds that they're going for, I appreciate that they're like trying to branch out and really like do something that's, you know, different for them each time.
Yeah, and
it shows that they're moving along.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, with Mastodon, I mean, and it took me years and years to kind of like come to terms with what bands want to do and what I expect them to do. And I feel that, what was that?
Those are two different things a lot of the time.
I know. And as selfish as it sounds, I feel that it's mature to realize that a band will do other things. You don't have to like everything. And you don't have to like everything. You can respect them for what they're doing, but I feel that the most important thing to realize is that there are other things out there. So when Mastodon was going from Blood Mountain to Crack This Guy, I wanted something heavier. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to listen to like this now. And like, I found like a whole bunch of other bands. I didn't just sit and just complain about Mastodon's newest album. Like, I decided to go and find other things. And once I was kind of like once I have that, I finally like now understand what they were doing. Aside from The Hunter, that album's just shit. Like, and I feel that.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, I mean, like, and I feel that even though that you respect a band for what they do, you can also say, I just don't like that album, period. So I'm just going to pretend that that doesn't exist. And this album's a great album right after Crack This Guy. So, Mastodon, you surprised me. You are the most surprising.
The bell of the ball?
Yeah, I know. Well, not bell of the ball. The one that I expected not to show up. And you look stunning in your dress. So. All right. So we got we got something old. And this is something that I'm kind of confused about. I'm confused that I have never listened to it before and that so many other people have before. So, here you go. From the U.S., way back in the early 70s, that was Sparks with their album Kimono My House. It came out in 1974. I don't know. I don't understand. All right, so I specifically started to listening to Sparks on kind of like the internet radio station, where I would have like a similar artist to Queen, Boston, Kiss. I mean, it's a great station, and the song This town ain't big enough for the both of us, but come on. And I, whenever I was listening to it, I'm like, who is this? Like, it sounds like Queen. So, like, I looked it up, and I'm like, oh, what's Sparks? So, I found these guys, found that they had a whole bunch of other albums, and also their video, too, with the leaked single off of this one. I mean, it had a sizable amount of views on YouTube. Like, it had, like, around, like, 2 million of it. So, I'm like, oh, here's a band that I completely missed out on. So, I don't know how popular they are, but they are wonderful. If you like the kind of pomp of Queen with a little bit more of kind of like an artistic slant and less kind of like classical, this is the band for you. This band came out with a whole bunch of albums. I've only listened to one, but their album Come Into My House in 1974 is a wonderful album full of great quirky melodies. Driving guitar, commanding guitar. I mean, specifically, like, the lead single, This Town Ain't Big Enough for the Both of Us. It's such a simple combination of just a driving drum beat, weird vocals, and then just kind of, like, a commanding Queen-style, Brian May-style guitar. So it's two guys, and if you ever see the videos from their earlier albums or, like, their performances, the keyboardist has a Hitler mustache. he has a Hitler mustache. I mean, like, that's all it is. And he dresses in kind of, like, a shirt and tie, and he doesn't smile at all. So he's just at his keyboard, just, like, staring at the camera. It is fantastic if you see any of these early videos from it. So I'm going to be listening to their other 1974 album coming up called Propaganda, which was also big. So 1974 was a big year for Sparks. I'm still confused about whether or not everyone else knows about this except for me, but if you enjoy, like I do, early glam and that kind of like big sounding classic rock sound, this is for you. So, Adam Merriman, I'm sorry that I gave you a copy of this that was a little bit less than playable. So hopefully it didn't ruin your Sparks experience. So what do you think?
Oh man, it's a cool album.
Ooh, so good!
I didn't hear these guys. They do sound a lot like Queen, but you're right. They do get much more experimental. Like the song Equator.
Yes.
Has like a really bonkers ending where it's just this kind of like acapella, like equator, equator, equator. You know, it's just, and then like barely anything else going on. It's really weird. It's really out there albums. But I really like the sense of humor that this band has. You know, they're like it's a little bit more of like an artistic style than Queen. Mm-hmm. But they are so wacky.
They are wacky.
It's like, it is really wacky. Like, thank God it's not Christmas. There's a song titled Barbecue-y. I really like the song Barbecue-y.
I'm falling in love with myself again. I love that.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's so good. Like, these guys are so quick-witted and clever about this stuff. But the songs that they're writing do have that kind of, like, operatic metal feel to them. Mm-hmm. It's really good, man. It's a really good album. I enjoyed this one a lot.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed all the jokes and stuff, but like Lost and Found is a really excellent song. You know, that one's definitely got like, it's definitely just got that super kind of like Queen rock feel to it. Yeah, it's weird that these guys like aren't on the radar as much as Queen is, because I had never heard of them before.
Yeah, and like actually, like Queen's album, I mean, their first album came out in 1973, second album 1974. Sparks was before with like 1971. They're from like America, and like they basically have the same sound that Queen was doing around the same time, even before too. I mean, Sheer Heart Attack didn't come out until 1974, and this one has like the sound of Night at the Opera. So I don't know, like it's weird that both like two bands were doing it about the same time and one is now like one just kind of got more popular. So
Well, I think Queen definitely, you know, they just had those tracks like We Are the Champions. Yeah, I went bowling for Bowling League the other week.
If I could hear that song again.
We Are the Champions came on, and I immediately just started rolling strikes and spares. It's like, I dare you to fail while that's playing. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's overplayed, but it's a really awesome song nonetheless.
All right, you know, I'll give it to you.
Queen, just like they have those tracks that are just, you know, imagine if you had never heard that song before and it was your first time hearing it, you'd be flipping out.
And I would be rolling strikes and spares.
it's probably the most triumphant song that was ever written.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it's called We Are the Champions. So it's appropriate. But they definitely have those tracks that we're all just, you know, kind of like a little bit bored with. Which doesn't diminish how good they are, but it just, you know, it's like the way that people get burned out on the Beatles sometimes, just because they're always there.
Always.
So it's really cool to hear another band that's kind of like rocking the same type of sound, but with a bunch
of new, like,
a bunch of like songs that are fresh to me and, you know, definitely have a really enjoyable sense of humor because I'm pretty well documented on this podcast as being a lover of puns and cheesy humor, and this album has all that, but it also just has like solid awesome rock with it, so you know, really cool album, and I'm really glad we got to listen to this one. I'm definitely going to be trying to get my hands on some more Sparks records.
Yeah, go for Propaganda.
I want to hear what the other stuff's like.
Their cover is them tied up as they're being kidnapped in a powerboat in the back. Like, it is so strange. So there you go. You got it. Adam Merryman, I had a wonderful time. We're going to be getting some guests on for our 5 episodes leading up to 100 with a one special guest on episode 100. So I look forward to it. Who could it be? I don't know.
Astronaut.
All right. So Adam Merryman, I believe that it's time to go home.
All right. Well, thank you very much for listening. It's been an enjoyable 95 episodes.
Oh, man. We just all did them at once. We just banged them all out in the afternoon.
Oh, man. I'm casting a skeleton. All right. Well, this is Arian, man. I am going to go bust out a giant log of pork and throw it on for a barbecue-y.
This is Captain Carbon, waiting for a Queen song to come on so I can wrap up this game.
A game of what?
A game of winning.